But that man did not believe it. And I think he's more of talking towards their the way that they would talk to each other. You know, Jesus probably wasn't the only person he called good. But this man looks at him as just another man. Well, if you're looking at another man, any man, even a righteous man, is not good. God is good. As the, what do the Muslims say? God is greater. Allah Akbar. That's a different God, but still. The idea is pretty much true, that God is greater. God is good. As I said, God does not owe a debt to any man. And everything we receive of God, His way of salvation, is all by His grace. There's no way we could just earn it. If we are earning, if there's anything we're accomplishing, it's just because those are benchmarks He's given to us that we can measure ourselves by to give us confidence that we aren't going to fall and fail to enter the kingdom. But they aren't things that He becomes indebted to us for. Doing good, keeping the commandments, so on and so forth. And it isn't so much as this man's riches he needs to give up, but he needs to give them up. He lacks this thing because he has a great attachment to them. You know, it's not enough just to keep the commandments if we keep these other things in our hearts, our riches, our wealth, and later includes, Jesus includes wife, children, parents, brethren. You can have more in the kingdom of God, you know. In the kingdom of God, you can have wife and brethren and children. It's leaving them, again, for the kingdom of heaven's sake. It's not that they can't come, unless it's not given to them to come of God, but if they won't come, if they are opposed to the kingdom or don't want to enter the kingdom, or for whatever reason, hey, they need to be forsaken. And this was especially true because Jesus Christ was walking the earth. You could actually get up and follow Him right then. If it was right now, would the man have to sell all he had to follow Christ? Well, not in the way Christ is being followed today. But he would definitely have to give it all up. You know, a rich man has to unladen himself. He has to unladen his heart and look at all that he has as not being his. And even we poor have to do it. It's just a little easier for us because we don't have as much. It's a lot easier for me to look around myself. And though I feel like I have a lot, I know there are people with a whole lot more. You know, they got their giant screen TVs, they've got their whatever, you know, I all their stuff. I don't even really know. You know, I guess I could go to the store, you know, they got their Blu-ray players, they've got their this and that and the other and on their doodads and their wonderful, beautiful cars and all that. And the giving up of those things to them is probably a lot bigger deal than me giving up my beaters and giving up my, you know, stuff if I had to leave it. There's a lot of times people say, well, you know, well, Christians don't do this. No, why don't they do it now? Well, some do, I suppose, when they're called to, like, mission work and so on and so forth. Mission work and such things. But when you're called to do it. You know, I may yet forsake my home and that. And, you know, the moment isn't so urgent. I haven't been called to do anything other than that I'm doing. If I could just do what I'm doing, I'd be happy, but I know that eventually God's going to move me on to something else. There's a time to raise children, and there's a time to walk away from your possessions. All these things are in their time. And I think I've explained this before. And as I said in the other Gospels, you know, this question of the going through the eye of the needle. Jesus, the interesting thing is they say, who then can be saved? And they said, it's impossible with men. And people always talk about this door, you know, the eye of the needle gate in the gate. Like there's a small door in which a camel would have to be unpacked and it could be go down on its knees and be kind of shoved through the door. Like imagine bringing a camel through the front door of your house. You know, obviously, if he was carrying a lot of stuff on him, you'd have to take it out. And I do accept it, but it's just the way that they say it's impossible. Why would that be impossible if that's something that they did? You know, why would that be impossible? Maybe because men's hearts are so hard, and to give up all that they've earned is too much. Maybe they're just seeing the meaning that well, you've got, you know, it's that tight a squeeze. How can we be saved then? You know, men aren't ready to give up all that. But Peter understands, and he says, "We've left all and followed thee." It's possible. And he says, hey, you're going to receive parents and wife and brethren in the kingdom of God right now. Because, you know, they're your true brethren, your true family. And in the world to come, life everlasting. But Peter really gets it. We left all and followed you. Oh, it's not possible. You can't be perfect. You can't stop sinning. With men, things are impossible. You can't put off the old sin. You can't let go of your riches. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, that's the thing. It's like, they'll say, oh, yeah, well, and I'll tell you what, I don't see a lot of rich people divesting themselves of everything. I've heard a few stories of people really downsizing their lives for the sake of the poor, and that's a very admirable thing, but it's very rare. You know, most people cling to their riches. Let's think about our future. Let's think about our retirement. Let's think about our grandkids. And at the moment, people are hurting. And they take their ease. They take their leisure. And eternal life in the kingdom of God pass them by. With faith and prayer, nothing is impossible. You have trouble letting go of things? God, help me that I may let go of my things and not be caught up in the things of my life, that when you call me to let go of my stuff, I'm ready to just let it go, because I've already let it go in my heart. That my heart be not attached to it, so that I'm not like Lot's wife. When I'm called out of the city, remember Lot's wife from chapter 17? When I'm called out of Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't look back longing for my life that was, but I turn my back on it with my whole heart and go forward to God and His kingdom. Verse 31, then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. He was it was like jibber jabber. I mean, what? They had no idea. They didn't even hear enough of it to be like disbelieving. It was just totally hid from them. He talked to them. It was like he was saying, you know, and Goldilocks and the three bears lived happily ever after, and you know, or what? Idle words. I mean, it's like, oh, look at that rock over there on the ground. It's purple and green. Isn't that unusual? Yeah. It was hidden. They did not know what he was saying. I think that's an interesting thing. He was telling them, yet they didn't know. It was sort of like, wow, what parable? That was a weird parable. I don't think I even heard what he said.